It's just an opportunity to go out and try to get this football team where I think it can be.
There are a lot of players we like, and you know, the toughest part will be narrowing it down.
So it's not just getting here, it's what you do when you get here.
It's going to be a tremendous opportunity for us and for our city, you know, and again, we're looking forward to it.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to this special post-draft edition of the Dog Pound Report. I'm Andy Baskin alongside Nathan Zagura and Matt Wilhelm. Andrew Gribble is going to drop by soon. Gentlemen, I got to tell you, I feel really good about this team right now, and I just feel like we're going in a different direction after this weekend. Your thoughts?
Yeah, clearly they came in, they had a plan. They addressed the two biggest positions of need aggressively. We're talking about wide receiver, drafting four of them. We're talking about getting to the quarterback pass rushers. They took three of those guys. So I like that they had a focus on what they wanted to do. They went out, they executed their plan. They were able to move around and set themselves up very well for future drafts as well. And then Hugh Jackson got his guy at quarterback in Cody Kessler. I think top to bottom, they added quality character guys. That was clearly very important to them. And I think a very successful draft, drafting as many people as has ever been drafted in the modern era, 14.
Absolutely. I just think they've added talent, young talent. And what I really want to do is I think Hugh Jackson's going to bring competition like we've never really seen before. And 14 bodies will do that. And I think a lot of veterans who may or may not have been watching the draft may have been put on watch to know that, hey, when we come back and we get on the football field, I've got to bring it.
All right, so you said it. 14 new players in this year's draft. Here's Hugh Jackson on how they built the new foundation of this franchise.
Oh, there's no question. I think it's truly a credit to our scouts and our coaches. And just our process, because I think we try to do everything we can to get as much information as we can to make good decisions about the players that we put on our football team. I think we get that it's bigger than just football. It's also about people and doing things right and doing things the way we want to do them here in Cleveland. And I think we set out and we were able to accomplish that.
The new guys up top. The one thing I noticed all weekend when I was talking to people, genuinely, fans, I think, are optimistic about this new group that's in there. Now, they haven't played it single down yet, but you can feel the turn. Talk about this group this weekend and what they were able to accomplish.
Well, they were able to. I follow their plan. They had an idea. They wanted to move around, maximize their assets, and then bring in quality football players. And as I said, they attacked the two greatest needs on this team, wide receiver and getting to the quarterback. And they got the quarterback that Hugh Jackson wanted. So they accomplished what they wanted. But it's also about a culture change. And you heard those guys come in yesterday and say, like, a big recruiting class can come in and kind of churn things over and make an impact on the culture there. And you got Hugh Jackson kind of the unifying force with everything. So clearly you see the vision. You see the execution of it. And I think that's why people are excited, but they have to do it on the field.
Absolutely, and I think if you really break down these individuals, which we will throughout this show, you're going to look at raw, explosive, and very productive college football players. And to me, what that screams out is, I've got a coaching staff with almost 200 years of NFL coaching experience. Bring me some clay. Let me mold them into the new Cleveland Browns.
All right, so the Browns made a ton of trades over the last couple of days. I mean, every time I was talking, Dave, I'm surprised you guys didn't get traded along the way.
Alone happy to be here, still.
In the first round, they made two big trades. Here is Browns Chief Strategy Officer Paul DePodesta on maneuvering around in the draft and still getting the players that these guys have been talking about.
No, again, I think we're excited about every single one of these guys. It's part of the reason we kept getting, you know, extra picks. It wasn't just a sort of play a game of accumulating picks. It was all with the intent of getting specific players. You know, this list really has just about all of them. I mean, these are the guys we had targeted from the beginning and felt like they would be good fits for us.
All right, so as you look at some of these guys, and without breaking down the guys, Paul DePodesta coming in, Hugh Jackson, you've got Sashi Brown making their first run at this thing. Is there a way to evaluate them after one draft? I don't think there is, but you said it again. The plan was in place.
Yeah, the plan was definitely in place, and I think their ability to get the 14 players, for them to wholeheartedly sit at the press conference and say, we got our guys in almost every scenario, and to know that we came out with assets in moving back in the draft, and even more so, looking into next year's draft. So this is the template that we've created to become the new Cleveland Browns, and I love the fact that we have two swings of the plate in the first round and two swings of the plate next year in the second round.
Yeah, Corey Coleman was the guy that they wanted in the first round of
this
draft.
Was he the guy that Sashi was talking about last week when he said, I know who our guy is, Or do you think they were still looking at the draft?
I think they always wanted to move out unless something shocking happened. I think it's possible that if Laremy Tunsil fell all the way to 8, which he did without the gas mask video, that perhaps they would have pulled the trigger on him. But I know they wanted to move back and get Corey Coleman. So they were able to move back, get their top guy at a future first, 2 future seconds, and 2 thirds. And then the third round, when they wanted Cody Kessler, they were going to take him with that second back-to-back pick. They knew they could move down in the third round, pick up an extra 4. So they still got their guys and added assets.
All right, you talked about it. After trading down to number 15 in the first round, the Browns then selected Corey Coleman out of Baylor. Here's Hugh Jackson on his new wide receiver.
And I said earlier, we plan on being very dynamic on offense, and this guy truly gives us an opportunity to do that. He's one of the players that obviously was very high on our board, and we had an opportunity to take him, and we did. I'm very excited about it.
All right, so immediately, maybe he wasn't the biggest name that people were talking about, but if you go back and look at the way this draft was leading up, everyone said, look, they're going to end up in the middle of that teens, and they're probably going to draft a wide receiver. And they got the Biletnikoff winner. I don't know much more you can ask for.
Yeah, they got their guy. You can't say that they didn't get the top receiver on their board. He was the first one taken. He was their guy. We're talking about the Biletnikoff Award winner, a very prestigious award that goes to the best receiver in the nation. Last year's winner, Amari Cooper. Calvin Johnson has won this award. Michael Crabtree has won this award. So it's actually led pretty successful wide receivers in the NFL. 1,363 yards and 20 touchdowns in 8 games, Matt Wilhelm. This guy is an explosive athlete, has spark score at the top of the wide receiver position, 40-inch vertical, similar size to Odell Beckham, but just dynamic. And when Hugh Jackson called him, he said, you ready to run past people and score touchdowns? That's what this guy does.
Yeah, and I had an opportunity to spend just a few minutes with Sashi Brown down right outside the draft room after we selected Coleman. And I also saw Hugh Jackson walking by, and I said, you've got a new toy, and a big grin came to his face. And I just think for any Browns fan to maybe understand what we're trying to do is go back and really watch how balanced and how explosive the Cincinnati Bengals were with A.J. Green, Marvin Jones, Mohamed Sanu, Tyler Eifert at tight end. That's our Gary Barnage and the two backs. We've got Crowell. We've got Duke Johnson. He is a piece of the puzzle, so I'd expect him to be a vertical threat, but I also expect the ball in his hands quickly because of the yards after the catch and have him make those explosive plays.
Fast, fast, fast. Those are the words that were said right after he was picked. The Browns himself, the man we'll hear from him, Corey Coleman, on what it means to be a Brown.
My goal is definitely to have a winning season, and for myself is, you know, to do my very best and give 100% every time I step on the field and really just work really hard.
He had right after, if size mattered, elephants would be the king of the jungle. I love that. And I think that if you looked at it on draft night and said, look, the Browns drafted a guy under 6 foot, you were being unbelievably short-sighted. I looked at it and I was like, step back. You got to look at this thing from a bigger picture.
Yeah, same size as Odell Beckham. His head coach at college, Art Briles, said this is a guy who, talking about his competitiveness, would rip your heart out and watch it stop beating. Yeah. He's got a lot of Steve Smith. That's the pro comp I've heard from him. Plays bigger than his size.
He definitely does, and I think you and I discussed it on day 2 of the draft, just a tenacity about him. And I think for any Browns fan that goes on YouTube and watches highlights of Corey Coleman, I love the fact that when he big boys, as a small guy over a defensive back, he looks down and lets them know that I have the football and you don't, and I like that in a wide receiver.
I think the other thing, too, is you answer the question, who are our playmakers? Here you have one.
Yes, you do.
It's nice to say playmakers. Still plenty more to come on this special draft edition of the Dog Pound Report. Stay tuned.
Draft night was amazing. My family and two of my closest friends were there with me. And when I got the call, we all went berserk. And it was just an amazing experience.
And welcome back to Dog Pound Report. Time now to take a closer look at the Browns' second and third round picks. We start off with the number 32 pick overall, defensive end Emmanuel Ogba out of Oklahoma State.
I have a great vibe from this group. You know, we all came together. You know, they brought us to change this program. You know, we all have a mindset to be better at what we do. So I feel like we have a lot to prove to the Browns family that for drafting us, that we're very grateful and we'll put in the work for them.
All right, boys, what does he bring to the table?
I mean, this guy is a physical specimen. And also, as I said about Corey Coleman, the same way, very productive, you know, in his college career, a stat-stuffing defensive end at Oklahoma State. He's probably going to play outside linebacker for us. So the scenario that you can kind of create as a Browns fan and the bodies that will play outside linebacker is going to be Ogba, Kruger, Nate Orchard. So Ray Horton's got a new, again, he got his defensive toy. And as you said, Nathan, in the outset, we addressed two positions of need. We went out and got Corey Coleman at wide receiver. We now have a pass rusher.
Yeah, this is the playmaker on defense, a guy who gets to the quarterback. He did it last year, 13 sacks, 17 tackles for loss, was the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. Another guy with some hardware. And we talk about spark, measuring the athletic explosiveness of someone, top defensive end in this draft. The guy's 6'4", 275, and runs a 4.640. An absolute physical freak. I'm excited to see what he can do in that rush linebacker
spot.
These
third-round picks, though, said to me, let's get to the quarterback. We have got to get there.
Because we do. Yeah. I'll tell you what, Nassib and Ogba last year combined for 28.5 sacks. The Browns as a team had 29. That was a priority. They addressed it.
All right, let's talk about Carl Nassib for a second. Out of Penn State, here's what football and game day mean to him.
I'm a totally different person on game day. My most intense moments are on game day. I love game day. I love winning. And I'm going to do everything I can, you know, sacrifice anything and everything to win games. And I'm so excited for my first NFL game day.
All right, so let's dive into Nassib a little bit. I think Ohio State fans know him because we've seen him a little bit before. Exciting player, really came on last year.
Yeah, former walk-on, was told by Bill O'Brien that he would never make it. Well, make it he did. 15.5 sacks to lead the nation last year. 19.5 tackles for loss. He was the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. He's a guy that wants to get to the quarterback, does so very effectively. And, again, they're talking about him at the defensive end spot. How do you see him fitting in along with Ogba?
Sure, absolutely. 6'7", 275 pounds. I wouldn't be surprised if he put on maybe 5 to 10 pounds, and they're going to move him inside. And I've had a time to talk to John Pagano, who, again, defense coordinator for the Chargers. They drafted Joey Bosa. This is like, a poor man's Joey Bosa. They're going to move him inside, put him in one-on-one situations with guards and tackles, working the inside where Ogba is going to be out on the end. I could also see Nassib in a lot of stunts. Anytime we're going to move guys around, he's a fast, athletic guy who was a defensive end by nature, but going to be moved inside in situations where he can win in one-on-one.
And a lot of people think of him as a 4-3 defensive end, and we're surprised that the Browns took him. But as you know, teams are playing nickel 60% of the time and use a lot of four-man fronts, even if they're a 3-4. So he will get some time at the end as well.
Absolutely.
I just want to ask you really quick, that transition from the Big Ten to the pros that he's going, that you lived, how hard is it? And how much does the Big Ten get you ready for it?
Oh, it absolutely gets you ready, because I think the Big Ten has changed over the course of time, you know, with the urban offense and the spread has spread throughout. But I think that Nassib has seen teams like Wisconsin, who like to run the football. Northwestern likes to run the football. So, again, but very productive getting to the quarterback, because the quarterbacks were featured there in the Big Ten as of late.
All right, now with their second pick in the third round, the Browns got some offensive line help, and we all knew that was a need going into this. Picking up tackle Sean Coleman out of Auburn, here's what the Dog Pound can expect out of Coleman this fall.
The fans can expect to see a lot from me on Sundays. First off, you know, through the off season, through training camp and things like that, I'm going to have myself prepared for Sundays and to be able to go and get some of the best of the best. And I'm going to give my all every single Sunday, and I'm going to try to, you know, be the most successful player that I can be.
All right, Nathan, what does he have to offer the Browns, especially needing an offensive line?
Absolutely. 2-year starter at left tackle at Auburn. Certainly a tenacious run blocker. Auburn is a run-first team. They're probably going to move him to the right side. He'll be competing with Austin Pastor and Alvin Bailey for that right tackle job. But this was a guy I can tell you was very high on the Browns draft board, and they were thrilled he was there in the middle of the third round. This is a guy who overcame leukemia, beat cancer, had to sit out 2 years, came back from that, and now is living his dream in the NFL.
Absolutely. And again, you and I had discussed on Cleveland Browns Daily that no need to take that tackle in the first round with Tunsil or Conklin or the Ronnie Stanley pick might be available to us at 8. We moved back, got the wide receiver, and we addressed the tackle position in the middle rounds. We get a good guy in the third round. And what he's going to do, he's going to be able to come in and immediately make an impact and compete with Bailey, with Pastor for that right tackle position.
Hugh Jackson said they were going to get a quarterback going into this draft. They got their quarterback. Final pick in the third round, the Browns ended up going with Cody Kessler out of USC.
For me, you know, just transitioning to the NFL, the type of player I've been is a guy that, first and foremost, you know, prides himself on accuracy, you know, and protecting the football and eliminating turnovers. And, I've always noticed that, you know, the guys on the perimeter, the receivers, running backs are guys that, you know, are a lot more athletic than me. So, I've always taken pride in being accurate and getting the ball to them and allowing them to make plays. And, you know, also just being a quarterback's efficient, you know, and I take pride in protecting the football and, you know, putting our team in the best position to win games and make plays. And also just the leadership ability. You know, I've gone through a lot at USC, and, I love being a leader on and off the field. But, you know, when it comes to game time, I kind of turn it into a different mode. And, I'm excited to kind of transition that now into the NFL.
Guys, when I look at Kessler and I look at Nassib, I look at guys that went through tough times in college and persevered. Kessler's a smart quarterback. I know people might talk about his arm, but I like this pick.
I like this pick, too. And, Matt, you know, this is Hugh's guy. He said, trust me, in the press conference. This is the guy he wanted. Accuracy, that's one of the things he's the best at. And college football last year, nobody completed a higher percentage of their passes under 20 yards than Kessler. 88 touchdowns, only 19 interceptions in college. You can see a little Andy Dalton in his game.
You absolutely do. And I threw this out. If you like the Hugh Jackson hire, you like the Cody Kessler draft pick, because this is Hugh's guy. He did say trust him. And I just believe this is a full-on developmental quarterback. And again, another toy and another asset for Hugh Jackson to just grow and nurture. And when the time is right, he'll be thrown out there into the fire.
I think that's the key. There's no pressure to get him on the field today.
No, none at all. And this is a guy who played in a pro-style offense, as you talked about, had five different coaches in his time at USC, so did overcome a lot, is very scheme diverse in the sense that he went through so many at USC. And they like what he brings to this team. And after talking with him yesterday, a very impressive guy. A guy that exudes leadership, exudes confidence, and certainly he knew he was coming to Cleveland all along. It was just a matter of when, and it's a marriage that certainly both sides are happy about.
Let's go back to this little point here. It's refreshing to have a quarterback in here that you think could be in the future, but doesn't have to play. I mean, we've seen it time, Whedon and Manziel, that we got to get him on the field. You don't have to get him on the field.
No, you absolutely don't, and I think the Philadelphia Eagles traded us an awful lot to move up the two to take a guy that may not play as a rookie. Okay, and we're doing the same thing. We gained all those assets, and we have a guy that may not play as a rookie, but we got him in the third round.
What does this mean for RG3, then?
It means RG3's got competition, a guy that Hugh Jackson certainly likes. He's going to win in a different way than RG3. This is a guy who's going to win from the pocket, get the ball out quickly, be accurate, which leads to yak, which is something Corey Coleman excels at, almost 8 yards after the catch per reception last season. So RG3 is going to go in there. He's going to have to compete, and he's going to have to learn and get better to hold on to his job.
All right, boys, still plenty more to come on this special draft recap edition of the Dog Pound Report. Stick around.
During the draft, I was with my family back home in Houston. You know, I also had some friends with me, but it was a crazy moment, you know. Earlier in the day, the Cowboys had called me and told me, hey, we're gonna get you, we're thinking about getting you. So then I think they were working a deal with the Browns, but the Browns said no, they really want me, so I'm glad to be a part of the Browns organization.
Welcome back to Dog Pound Report. Time now to dive into the Browns' fourth-round picks. They had four of them in the fourth round. A first pick, well, a bunch of them, they had them. They went Big Ten. They went Wisconsin linebacker Joe Schobert. Here's Browns Vice President of Player Personnel, Andrew Berry, on the pick.
Athletic, versatile, tough, good football player at Wisconsin. Could rush the passer, can drop, can play the run. I think he has a very well-rounded skill set.
Rounded, my friends, well-rounded. What are we getting here?
And I think I'll let you a little insight is while Nathan and I were covering the fourth round yesterday, after we made the Schobert pick, Chris Tabor comes walking up the stairs, as many coaches do, go back to their office until we have our next pick. And Tabor's nodding his head with a big grin on his face. And I stood up and I pointed to him and I said, your guy. And he said, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So this is a guy that's going to be very productive in a 3-4 scheme as an outside linebacker. He's a little undersized than we're used to. But, again, he's going to be kind of a specialty player in pass rush situations. He's going to be rushing the guy, going to be moving around. But I think in the outset of his career as a Cleveland Brown, he's going to be a Tank Carter-like football player on special teams. So that's where he's going to win. And I don't know if he's going to be a huge asset in Ray Horton as a rookie.
This is a guy, self-starter, another former walk-on who made it to the top level of the Big Ten. 9.5 sacks last year. You talked about he's going to be a special teams demon. Can get to the quarterback, comfortable dropping at the outside linebacker spot. But a depth guy early with some upside who is going to be a special teams beast. And that's why Chris Tabor's so excited.
All right, as we continue on through the draft, the Browns obviously, wide receiver was a position in need. They got one with their first pick. How about Ricardo Lewis out of Auburn?
Ricardo, big, fast, physical wideout. Big play, deep threat. Think he can add explosiveness to our receiving core.
What are we going to see here? I'm excited.
Oh, I like this guy. He's confident, by the way. This is a guy who went to the combine, dominated the measurables. He didn't have a lot of numbers at Auburn because it was such a run-heavy offense, but he averaged over 17 yards a catch. He's 6'4", 215, runs a 4.39 40. He can help stretch the field. He's somebody the defense has to account for. As you see him go up, high points the ball well. He did have some issues with consistently catching the football, something that he talked about immediately when we spoke with him and said, all I do is work on this every day. And you talk about those balls of clay. This is a a great ball of clay for Al Saunders, arguably the best wide receiver coach in the NFL, to mold.
And that's exactly where I was going to go. This guy, to me, screams project. Okay, you're going to use him maybe, you know, slightly here and there in year one as a rookie. We're going to stretch him down the field, maybe have an opportunity for RG3 to throw a deep, you know, to get a gimme pass or try to steal a play here or there. But he's a guy that just needs to be around the professional game and understand how professional wide receivers run their routes, understand coverages, and as you mentioned, working with Al Saunders on a daily basis, you're going to see this guy grow, and he's a project, that mold of clay that we continue to talk about as we look at this draft class.
All right, let's go from offense back to defense. And in the fourth round, the Browns decided to go with a safety, Derek Kindred, out of TCU.
Derek Kindred, another very well-rounded player, athletic enough and fast enough and rangy enough to play in coverage, but also a very physical downhill presence.
All right, boys, they had to do something with the DBs. Here you go. You got a pick here. How much have they strengthened? And we've got a guy we can look forward to.
I like this guy, and I'll tell you why. He broke his collarbone a week before the season. They told him he had to have surgery, and he played the entire season with a broken collarbone. This kid is tough, and that didn't take away his physicality. He talked about there was a huge goal line stop that he had where he forced a fumble that he led with the broken collarbone to make that hit. So this guy's tough. He can cover. He's physical. Could be kind of a strong safety, free safety hybrid, and somebody to add where you lost two of your starters.
Absolutely. That's the point that I was going to make. You went into this knowing that you lost to Sean Gibson via free agency. You cut Dante Whitner. You've got Ibrahim Campbell, a rookie player last year who stepped up both on special teams and a little bit of defense. And you got Jordan Poyer who stepped up also in the replace of an injury for Tashaun Gibson last year. So this is a guy that you just throw into the mix. And that's what I think we continue to do. Throw these guys in the mix, compete, compete, compete. And ultimately, Hugh Jackson's going to spit out a team that's going to score touchdowns on offense and be very physical on defense.
Because of all the losses in the secondary, is he maybe on a faster track to seeing quicker playing time?
I would think so, yes, but also a special team asset as well.
Yeah, and I know they love Ibrahim Campbell. They're very excited about him. You've got Jordan Poyer and Raheem Moore right now at free safety. Moore, a former second-round pick out of UCLA, trying to resurrect his career. So he's going to be in that mix with that room, trying to compete for some time out there. But physical, played with a broken collarbone. I love that.
That's crazy talk. All right, with their fourth and final pick in the fourth round, the Browns went Ivy League. How about that? Sean DeValve out of Princeton.
Seth DeValve, that's a player that we think can have a little bit of a mismatch ability from the tight end position. He was played detached, played as a wide out, played on the line of scrimmage at Princeton, and we think he can be a good role player and weapon for our offense.
You knew these guys were going to go Ivy League at some point, right?
Maybe. The one thing that I do know is we're not going to see DeValve blocking a lot of people. You know, he's going to be that flex tight end, you know, when you get situations where you get Barnage maybe attached outside the tackle and you're going to have him flexed out. Winning in one-on-one situations over a walked-out linebacker or even a safety or a nickelback where he's going to have a little bit more size, but he's played as a wide receiver, he's played as a tight end, and he's going to be that move guy as an H-back in this offense as well.
I didn't know anything about this guy when they drafted him. I was literally dumbfounded on the air. And then I've done some research on this guy. They call him the Gronk of the FCS. I urge everybody out there, go watch his workout video on YouTube. He moves like a receiver. He's jacked. This is a guy that I am excited about to see what he can do. And he was the number one spark tight end in this entire draft.
But does he have a party cruise? That's all I need to know.
I think he might after watching that video.
All right, Matt, thank you very much. We appreciate it. Still plenty more to come on this special draft edition of the Dog Pound Report. Stick around. The Gribbs joins us. Andrew Gribble next.
When I first got the call, it was very unexpected, but when I found out it was Cleveland, I was very, very excited. My whole family was excited. They huddled around me. We did like an interview with ESPN, and all of them were able to get on the camera and everything, so it was just an awesome time for me.
And welcome back to Dog Pound Report. The Gribbs is here. Andrew Gribble from ClevelandBrowns.com.
Yes.
Busy, you okay?
I'm recovered slowly, but it was a busy weekend. 14 picks, 1 year after 12 picks. I mean, looking to maybe in the future where we have kind of a normal 7-pick draft, but that's good. Assets in the future.
I mean, I think about the hours you guys put in this weekend. I'm using golf voice to get through the rest of the show. All right, so let's dive into rounds 5 through 7 for the rest of the draft. And really, your meat and potatoes of the draft. Here's Hugh Jackson on the team's picks during the final day of the draft.
Well, it's about them fitting in and fitting into our culture and understanding what we've already created thus far and making sure that they understand what it takes to be a Cleveland Brown and then, have an opportunity to play with these guys. What I mean by that is take the draft picks because we're excited to have them and then really watch them play and put them in the right situation so they can have success.
All right, Gribbs, give me your take on Hugh and the whole staff going into this weekend and what we come out of it with.
Well, you clearly saw it was a combination of best player available and addressing needs. And I think you saw it right away with the wide receivers. That's the big headline out of this weekend is after years of really not addressing the position in the draft, you go with four wide receivers, which is about as much as you had the last few years. And then the pass rusher situation as well. You got a lot better at pass rusher as well. But then you kind of sprinkle players all over the roster to the point where with these 12 guys, it's as if you could almost field a team with one guy at each of those spots.
All right, let's talk about Jordan Payton, both of you guys. What do we know about Jordan Payton?
Just a complete producer at the college level. Career reception leader at UCLA. The thing about him is he's a big-bodied guy at 6'1", really thick, 207 pounds. The analysts really like his blocking ability. So he's someone that could really help you out on special teams, along with being kind of an inside receiver that catches everything that's thrown in his direction.
Well, yeah, let's look at what we did early. Corey Coleman is the absolute dynamic playmaker. You got a tall burner to stretch the field in Ricardo Lewis. Jordan Payton is big. He's physical and catches everything thrown his way. Over 1,000 yards last year at UCLA, was the top wide receiver for Rosen. I like this guy. Compliments what the first two wide receivers very well. And a guy I think who can play, he's more ready to play now than a guy like Ricardo Lewis.
All right, so let's go now back to the offensive line for the next pick. Can you go to Spencer Durango? Well, I mean, look, the offensive line needs help. And now I think they built a little bit of depth for guys that are young up front. Your thoughts?
A lot of analysts say this guy's going to project as a guard in the future, but Hugh Jackson came out yesterday and said he's going to compete for that right tackle position. So you throw him in there with Sean Coleman and Alvin Bailey, Michael Bowie, Austin Pastor. Suddenly the situation without Mitchell Schwartz doesn't look so bleak because you got a lot of guys and the best one's going to emerge at the top.
Nathan, how much better do you feel about the offensive line today than you did yesterday compared to going into Wednesday?
I wasn't that concerned with it. You drafted Cam Irving to come in and play center. I watched our quarterbacks get killed behind that offensive line last year, so I think Hugh's going to get the ball out quicker. That's going to help. But adding these guys, and Drengo is very productive at college. Talked to Emmanuel Ogba about him. They had some battles. This is another good player that the Browns were happy to add to this line. And that's where good teams get these guys, by the way. Third round, fifth round, and then turn them into productive pros.
We've seen it from a ton of teams. Now it's the Browns' turn. Third pick in the fifth round, another receiver for the Browns, Rashard Higgins out of Colorado State. Boys?
I loved this pick. This is a guy, his nickname is Hollywood. That's perfect for the Hugh World Order. 1,750 yards, 17 touchdowns 2 years ago. Was a Biletnikoff Award finalist, lost out to Amari Cooper, but they went back and forth on who was going to lead college in yards when he had Garrett Grayson. Last year, their quarterback play dropped off a lot, but still very productive, and a guy that many thought was a top 10 receiver, but fell because he ran a 4.6. Plays faster than that. This guy, I like Higgins a lot, as you see him there. Great hands. This is a good pick.
Yeah, we're very much in agreement on this one because this was my favorite pick of day three. Also, because it brought some surprise to me because you had already drafted three wide receivers at that point, and I was surprised that he was still on the board in the fifth round. I'd figured I'd missed where he'd been picked in the third or fourth round. Just a guy who can produce. And because of the offense he came from in college at Colorado State, a pro-style offense that was really installed by Jim McElwain, who's now at Florida, he is perhaps the most ready for a pro-style offense. A little adjusting curve that he has to make.
All right, final pick in the fifth round, Trey Caldwell out of Louisiana Monroe. Another defensive back to add to the room and have some competition.
Yeah, he's a corner from a smaller school, but they liked what he could do, can play inside and outside. He's not as high profile as some of the other people, obviously, but that's what happens in the fifth round, but a guy that the Browns were excited about.
And clearly the Browns addressed this position later in the draft as well by making that trade with the Dolphins, getting Jamar Taylor, a former second-round pick. Really hadn't panned out for the Dolphins, but he gets a fresh start, fresh set of eyes on him, and that adds to a room where you need some cornerbacks to emerge with Joe Hayden injured and Tremont Williams kind of near the end of his career.
All right, let's go back out to the Pac-12. You got a linebacker that can rush the quarterback again. Scooby Wright out of Arizona.
I love Scooby Wright. I mean, how can Scooby not be coming to the dog pound? And he is. 2 years ago was maybe the most productive inside linebacker in all of college football. This is a guy who can do everything for you, a total competitor. I think he'll be a special teams demon. I like this guy a lot. And maybe he doesn't have the athletic profile you want, but neither did Borland coming out of Wisconsin and was a very productive pro. Scooby Wright, an exciting player.
When it's pick number 250, you might as well make it a fun one. I mean, yeah. Scooby Wright was a guy that fans recognized in the seventh round. Clearly the reaction on Twitter and everything like that, one of the most popular reactions to a number 250 pick that you could ever have. I mean, this is someone with a big chip on his shoulder, though, as well. Missed most of his last season with an injury. He's going to come in, I would feel, compete for some special teams reps and an inside linebacker.
All right, so will you be selling Scooby snacks or you?
Oh, yeah, it's coming. You know it's coming.
It's all about
the Browns mobile app soon.
All right, still plenty more to come on this special draft edition of the Dog Pound Report. Stick around.
Yeah, it was a great feeling. You know, I was sitting there, and it was my parents, my two brothers, and then my girlfriend and my coach. We were all kind of sitting there. My agent was there also with his son, Jordan. And we were all kind of sitting there and anxious, and we didn't know if it was going to be day two, day three, or what was going to happen. You know, I was just trying to be calm, and I knew Cleveland had one more pick, and I knew that I, you know, had a great connection with them, and we had a great meeting together. And when the phone rang, I think two or three picks, you know, before they had to pick, and I kind of knew right away, you know, it said Ohio on the caller ID, and you know, everyone in my family, you know, I was telling them to be quiet real quick while I was talking, and as soon as I hung up, you know, it kind of erupted in there, and you know, I was so pumped that I was going to be, you know, part of the Browns organization.
All right, welcome back, Dog Pound Report. Andy Baskin, Nathan Zagura, Andrew Gribble. Guys, the Browns took four receivers in the draft, which means going into training camp, it is going to be unbelievably competitive for guys competing for roster spots, just the way Hugh Jackson likes it.
Well, I think what's important is you got to score the ball. You know, you have to score touchdowns. You have to put yourself in position to score touchdowns. Schematically, I think we'll be as good as we can be. But at the same time, you have to have players that give you the flexibility to do that from a lot of different areas, from a lot of different places, whether it's by air or whether it's by land. So I think we accomplished that in this draft to go along with the guys that we already have here. And it's going to give us a chance to have the best of the best that we can put out there. And I think that's what's important.
Well, I got to tell you, I was thinking about the veterans this weekend, and I was thinking about these 14 guys. How many of them will create the core for the next 3, 4, 5 years here? If you're a veteran, what are you thinking?
Thinking, I got to go out there and show my worth so that I can stay here over this infusion of young talent. If you're in the wide receiver room right now, you're probably in the worst wide receiver room in the National Football League. Sorry, but it's true, and that's why they drafted four wide receivers. And so Brian Hartline, Andrew Hawkins, Taylor Gabriel, Terrell Pryor, you are on notice. And right now, I would say they're the long shots to make the roster as opposed to these young guys.
And Hugh Jackson has kind of prepared us for this, but maybe we didn't expect the Browns to go with all four of these wide receiver picks in this draft. But, you know, look back at the owners' meetings. He made it openly clear he wanted bigger, stronger, faster wide receivers, and that's what they did. You look at the defense as well. This team had a need for pass rushers, and you don't just get one. You get multiple options at that position. You look what happened last year. Scott Solomon went down with an injury in week one. It messed everything up for you on the outside.
Think about that when you say that out loud. That is a problem.
And because at that point, Nate Orchard wasn't ready. He developed later in the season. Paul Kruger had to move to a spot he wasn't exactly comfortable with, and the Browns really didn't have a pass rush outside that week two game against Marcus Mariota. It just kind of vanished. Now you have more options, more contingency plans if injuries, which happen in the NFL, do occur.
And look, they want these guys to play. They know this is a build, and the only way you're going to get there is by playing these young guys. Emmanuel Ogba was drafted to play the rush linebacker position, so you wonder, do you keep paying Paul Kruger at that age to be here, even though he's probably better? You want to play this guy. Carl Nassib, he's going to be your five technique. Are you going to pay Desmond Bryant at 30 years of age to play that position, or do you want Nassib to get those reps? I think we're going to see these young guys get drafted and play a lot. I think the roster change for veterans, I think they're going to be on the way out, and you're going to see these young guys drafted to play.
Are there any wide receivers that can feel comfortable right now?
I think the one guy that is different still is Andrew Hawkins. And the way that his contract was done when we took him on that restricted free agent deal from Cincinnati, he's only $1 million this year. So I think Andrew Hawkins has the best chance of those guys to say, but I think Hartline, Gabriel, Pryor, they are on notice.
I will say I was encouraged by what we saw from Hartline, though, last season. I think when he was healthy, he was this team's most consistent wide receiver last year. The last game, right before he broke his collarbone, he was fantastic. I thought he was great around the goal line, which this team really didn't have much other goal line options at that point. But I think he still has a lot left in the tank. And I think he right now, before these rookies got in, he was probably your number one receiver. I still think he's in good shape.
I still want to ask that same question on pass rushers. Paul Kruger, that group.
Well, they're going to carry four, right? You're going to carry four outside linebackers. So you're looking at it right now. You drafted Schobert. He's probably going to make it. You've got Mingo. You've got Nate Orchard. And you've got now Emmanuel Ogba, who is definitely going to make the team. So where does Paul Kruger fit into this? Obviously, he's our most accomplished player. But the money you're owed to him, given the vision of this organization, I think you want Ogba on the field every chance you can get him.
All right, hang tight. We're still going to talk more about this. Plenty more to come on this special draft edition of the Dog Pound Report. Up next, NFL analyst Matt Waldman drops by. Stick around. Right back after this.
I was in Chicago, brought my beautiful mother and my two sisters. It was a crazy experience. When I got the phone call, I really couldn't believe it. If you see on the video, my eyes got really big. You know, because I've been dreaming of this for so long, and for my dream to come to its reality now, It's just crazy and unbelievable, and, you know, I'm blessed to be a part of this organization.
Welcome back to Dog Pound Report. We're going to send it down to Atlanta now, and we're going to catch up with Matt Waldman. He is from the Rookie Scouting Portfolio to get his take on the NFL draft and the Browns in particular. Hey, Matt, how are you? How you doing?
I'm doing great, fellas. How you doing?
We're doing awesome. Give me your thoughts on the Browns and this new front office and what they were able to do with 14 picks.
It was really interesting to see what they did, because certainly you look at the receivers and it being the first time in the modern era that they've drafted, that a team has drafted so many receivers at one time. But it was kind of a split draft for me, because you have the skill positions that you're looking at for the future, and then you also have some guys on the defensive front who are going to help you out. So to me, it looks like a draft where they're looking to fill depth and to bring along guys that they can develop into starters, as well as players who I would say are a fit for a system of coaches who are known as teachers.
Matt, you like the wide receiver draft. I know that. The Browns getting two of your top eight receivers this year. Talk a little bit about Corey Coleman, Lewis, obviously, Hollywood Higgins, and Jordan Payton.
Yeah, absolutely. Coleman was a fine pick. I think that was an excellent fit for this offensive scheme, because you're going to get a player who replaces Travis Benjamin and then some. He's a more physical player in terms of what he can do off the line of scrimmage. He's going to have to develop a little bit more in terms of technique and a variety of techniques against press corners to really come into his own. But he is so dangerous off, you know, in space and as a vertical player who is not going to be overthrown a lot by Robert Griffin or McCown in that case either. So you have a player in that regard who's going to give you instant production. He's just going to have to get better at physical play and patient corners who eat him alive right now, but it's something that shouldn't be too hard for him to develop. I think it's more not an averseness to physical play as it is to just not being used to guys being able to body him up or be patient with him. And then when you look at some of the other receivers that they have, certainly Hollywood Higgins is an interesting player. Reminds me a lot of Freddie Mitchell back in the day with the Philadelphia Eagles. He's a good route runner. He's someone that catches the ball extremely well. And yeah, that 4.6 40 may have bothered people and dropped him down, because the NFL tends to have an obsession with 40 times as they do with good looks for news anchors. But the way I look at it is that it's one of those deals where, you know, that when you look at it, it's the type of deal where it's more about being quick off the line of scrimmage and how quick and how composed you are with being able to throw moves at defenders and have a plan in that first 10 to 15 yards. That's what Bill Walsh always advocated, and I think Higgins shows a lot of that as a route runner, so that he can provide you a good timing route player. I love Jordan Payton. To me, he was my number eight receiver on this board overall. And I know that you guys talked about him being an inside threat. I think he's an underrated outside threat. People always talk about him being big. He plays big, but 207 pounds isn't big in this league. 220 is big in this league, in my opinion. So he plays big. He plays physical. He's not, he's someone that doesn't wilt when it comes to contact in the NFL. But what he does that's so underrated off the line of scrimmage is, again, those release moves within the first 5 to 10 yards. A lot of people describe him as a guy who gets open on double moves downfield, but really where he thrives, you have to also look at the defensive pass interference penalties that he drew against opponents because they were hugging his hind parts after he put a move on them. And this happened repeatedly at UCLA. So I'm thrilled. And he also bends at the hips extremely well, which is what's important for stopping fast, because what's more important than running fast as a wide receiver is stopping fast. And he does that extremely well. He's one of the better route runners I saw on film and at the Senior Bowl. It carried over in practices with a lot of the timing routes. And if they go to more timing type of routes in this offense and Robert Griffin starts to progress in that area, he could be a very dangerous player that makes it even more difficult for safeties to cover a guy like Corey Coleman. And then you got Lewis. Lewis was a surprise to me, but the more I watched him, the more I liked him, because, again, being able to stop fast. Yeah, being able to stop fast is something that he was a guy that, you know, he's able to bend at the hips and break and be able to make people miss in the open field, as well as that leaping ability.
Hey, Matt, thank you very, very much. We appreciate your time, and we'll make sure we catch you. Matt Waldman, RSP.com. Thank you so much. We've got much more to come on this edition of Dog Pound Report. We'll talk a little bit more, and we'll have some final thoughts for you. So stick around. More coming up right after this. Bring it. Welcome back to Dog Pound Report. Browns taking a quarterback in this draft, Cody Kessler out of USC in the third round. He now joins a quarterback room in the likes of RG3, Josh McCown, Connor Shaw, and Austin Davis. Here's Hugh Jackson's thoughts on his stable of signal callers.
I'm expecting these guys to compete. You know, this is about competition, and I don't think you can ever put a limit on any young man, regardless of what his draft status is. I think you coach them all up, you treat them the same, and you kind of let the cream rise to the top. And everybody's here for a reason. They're trying to earn a job, and we put them on this team because they have the characteristics that we look for. So we're looking forward to letting these men compete.
Playmakers, playmakers, playmakers. You got a crowded wide receiver room and a crowded quarterback room. What's this quarterback room going to look like when the season starts?
Well, I can tell you two guys who are going to be there, RG3 and Cody Kessler. They're going to be in that quarterback room. After that, I don't know. Personally, I hope Josh McCown stays. I think it'll be good to have that veteran influence on those guys. I think we've seen enough in of the other quarterbacks to know that Kessler is going to be your young guy that you're looking to develop for the future.
Yeah, I think your ideal situation is RG3 kind of recaptures what he did at the early part of his career, wins the job outright, and then you keep around Josh McCown as the backup, allow Cody Kessler to develop behind the scenes. I think the clear thing is, though, if Cody Kessler comes in here ready to go, they're going to let him compete, and they're going to I think his accuracy and his experience at a place like USC makes him not, maybe he's a developmental quarterback, but it's not like he's a complete developmental quarterback. He can come in, run an offense. He's a confident guy.
All right, again, let me just say this again. There's no rush to get him on the field, though.
Absolutely not, and that's one of the nice things about drafting a quarterback where the Browns did, and he's a guy, look, Hugh Jackson said, trust me on this one. That's Hugh Jackson's guy. That's who he wanted. Once Goff was off the board, the guy they wanted was Cody Kessler, and I trust in Hugh Jackson's ability to evaluate quarterbacks, and so he can be brought along slowly, and RG3 is going to be the starter when day one comes.
Yeah, and again, I'll go back to Josh McCown, an invaluable guy to have in the locker room, especially with a guy like Cody Kessler, who just seems very open to absorb everything that comes at him in the NFL. He's willing to learn, and I think Cody Kessler's a guy that's going to be willing to kind of take a back seat if he's not going to be the guy and learn and get better behind
him. Grips, thank you very much. ClevelandBrowns.com. Make sure you're reading them. Back with final thoughts after this. Welcome back to Dog Pound Report. Nathan Zagura, Andy Baskin right here. Thanks for putting up with my voice for the last hour. Look, as I walked away from this draft, I kept thinking, after they took Corey Coleman, big picture. Think big picture. And also think, this hasn't worked since 99. So it may not feel comfortable all the time, but more I sink my teeth into it, I love what they did this weekend.
Yeah, you added 14 players, 15 if you count Jamar Taylor acquired on the last day. You addressed the wide receiver position, your biggest position of need. You got the quarterback that your head coach wanted in Cody Kessler. You addressed the pass rush. So they had a plan. They executed it. I don't think you can say if it was a home run or a strikeout yet. We'll see when these guys get on the field. But certainly they got the guys they wanted, executed their plan, and now we get an opportunity to see this big group come in here and continue the culture change that Hugh Jackson has started from a coaching standpoint on the field. And the great thing is this coaching staff is perfect for a young football team with all their experience.
I also think it's laughable to start coming out with grades when you haven't seen a guy take a snap in a regular Sunday game.
I just like the fact that the Browns did what they wanted to do, and now we'll get to see how that translates on the field. I know they're very happy with the draft, and not only do they have, a very good draft this year in terms of addressing their needs, but they've set themselves up very well for the future with the future ones, the future twos, and 17 and 18 as well.
Also, calm, cool, and collective, I think, was the other thing
they're
seen
prepared.
Out of all of the press conferences since they've come through, it always just seems like they have a plan. They know what they want to do. They're not worried about what anybody else. I'll go back to Di Podesta coming out of the combine. Somebody was ripping the Browns and was ripping him, and he was standing right next to him. They don't care. They want to get done what they want to get done.
Yeah, they've identified the guys that they think can help the team, the process to maximize their draft capital, and they went out and they execute it, and now we get to see what it is in real life on the football field, and I can't wait for that.
All right, Nathan, so the rookies will be here before we know it. We'll get a chance to see them on the field. It was a fun weekend. Great job this weekend listening to you on the radio.
Thank you.
And then especially our draft special on Thursday night.
That was a
blast.
Yeah, absolutely. Now it's time.
No one jumped on the stage. We were okay.
It was all good.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for watching Dog Pound Report. Don't forget, we'll see you tonight at 6. We've got Cavalier coverage and the Ford Sports Sunday tonight at 11:35. Thanks for watching Dog Pound Report.